Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope that you enjoy this encouraging message. For more information on our church family, visit freechapel.org/OC.
Turn with me, if you've got a Bible with you, turn with me to Matthew. And we're gonna jump in this and see what God has for us. Matthew chapter 13. It's great to be back. I feel like I haven't I haven't preached for a long time. Well, I haven't. And so I did get back on Tuesday from Australia. So I did 2 weeks. Went home. It was my first time home in 6.5 years, which was special. So I took a 5 and 6 year old on a 14.5 hour flight, which was the closest to hell I've ever been. But it was not without a great dose of kids' melatonin gummies. So praise God for that. But it was awesome. We had a great time. And my kids did get to see kangaroos, which they're excited about, and snakes, which they're excited about. And it was an awesome time. So it was the first time all 10 grandkids were together, and so it was special. So for those of you who do know my parents and family, they all send their love and wishes, and so it's great to be back and back home. I call it home. Is that all right? I call it home. I am a citizen. Did I tell you that? I'm a citizen. Thank you. Appreciate that. It only took me 10 years, thanks to the amazing immigration system that you have here in this brilliant country, but... So it's awesome. So I'm officially a citizen, so you are officially stuck with me now. So it is what it is. We'll make it work, guys. But let's jump in. Chapter 13 in Matthew. And I'm going to do, today will be, I think, somewhat of an introductory message, if you like. And then we're going to continue it next week. The reason why I'm saying it like that is I'm so mindful of what we're going to step into and jump into that I don't want to rush it. And I want to take time and I want to allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. Because I do believe, and you'll see when we look at these few verses, that this is incredibly critical what Jesus is dealing with here. And it is so significant for our life and our walk with the Lord and being what God's called us to be. So let's look at this. This is a parable that Jesus used to teach His disciples this kingdom principle. It says, "Then He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground." Say good ground. "On good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Later on in the chapter, Jesus has another discussion with the disciples, and He begins to explain to them what this parable is talking about. In fact, in Mark, it goes even further, and Jesus actually speaks of this parable in Mark, and He says that if you don't understand this particular parable, then you won't understand any of the other ones. This parable, we know, if you've been in church or perhaps you've heard it taught before, but you would not be unfamiliar with the fact that what the parable is talking about is the seed, which is God's word, and the soil, which is our hearts. The seed, which is God's word, and the soil, which is our hearts. And the fact that Jesus in Mark says, if you don't get this right, if you don't understand that the power of my seed is determined based upon the condition of your heart, then everything else I say won't matter. I want us to stop for a minute and think about that, because that to me is like, okay, wow, that's a big deal. You mean to tell me that the power of God's word, the Logos word of God, the same word that when he said, let there be light, the sun shone, that the same word when he stood outside Lazarus' tomb, that dead body rose up. It was that same word when it was declared, it created the heavens and the earth and filled the oceans with the sea. That same word, that same power in that word hinges upon the condition of my heart. I don't know about you, church, but as even I say that, I'm struck again with the magnitude and the importance of the condition of my heart. We know only too well the story when Jesus comes to preach in his hometown. And I want your attention to see, I want you to focus your attention upon the fact that it says that he could not. Not he didn't want to, but he couldn't do any mighty works there. Why? Because of the state and the condition of their heart toward him. And I'm so challenged by that this morning. When I think of all of the different things that I still want God to do in my life. No doubt many of you are sitting here and you're sitting on dreams and desires and prayers, and passions and things that you're believing for, no doubt. We're all probably, if we're to be honest, we're all in this room. We've got things that we're still believing that God's yet still to do. And we're speaking God's word over it and we're praying. And yes, some of those things, seed time and harvest time, and some of those things is just a season and you sow the seed and the seed will produce fruit and it's all in God's timing. But what I want to challenge you with today is maybe when I think of my own life, maybe there are some things that the seed has been sown, but it's not that it's waiting for the season. The season is ripe, but the soil is off. And that really bothers me. Because I think, hang on a second, the soil's up to me. The seed's up to him. And I think many of us can find ourselves in our Christian walk wondering what's wrong with the seed when maybe the issue isn't the seed, but it's the soil. And that worries me because I think if we were to be real honest, let me just cut to the chase. I think if we were to be real honest, all of us in this room would have to say, Ben, I've got some stuff in my heart that's not right. There's some things in here that I've got to deal with. There's some hurt that I'm carrying. There's some pain, there's some disappointment, there's some bitterness, there's some anger, there's some insecurity. Ben, I'm not just saying that these are thoughts I have, for unfortunately, these are things that I have in my heart that I don't seem to be able to shake. And it doesn't matter how much I read God's word, something's missing. Because I come to church each week and I'm singing the songs and I do sense his presence. But much like this parable says, it feels like, Ben, day two or day three, I look and the seed is gone and been snatched away. And I'm sick of living my life like this because I feel like I'm going around in circles. And John 10:10 tells me that there is life and life to the full. But I feel like I'm falling short of that life. And I feel like it could be the condition of my heart that's robbing me from experiencing the power of the seed. And across these next few weeks, we're going to talk about the habits of a healthy heart. The habits of a healthy heart. Because there's something that we need to know about our hearts. This thing is not just one and done. I wish it was. Don't you wish you could just sort of pray a prayer and like, or just come to church and just say, God, fix this. And then he fixed it and then it was done. Like, wouldn't that be so much easier? Like, if I was God, that's how I would do it, you know? Just like one and done. But we miss the power of what it is to steward something. And God gives us this heart to steward, to take care of, to maintain. And a habit is behavior repeated. So I'm not going to give you just a one and done. I'm going to give you some habits, some practices to keep the soil of our hearts in a place where the second that seed hits that soil of our heart, it's possible for us to get a heart that is so pure and will absorb that seed so quickly that the moment you hear a message, the moment you open your Bible, the moment you even read your word on the church app or Bible app, it's possible to have a heart that is so open, that is so pure, that is so hungry. The second you get that word in there, it goes down deep and starts to produce fruit in your life according to the scripture that says 100-fold. 100-fold. Imagine what our communities would look like if we had believers that walked around with 100-fold fruit from God's word. That you're loving people 100 times over. That you're living a life of favor 100 times over. And my heart stirs when I talk about it. And I think, man, the opportunities that are in front of us, if we would get our heart right. A couple months back, I went to Lowe's and I bought a chili plant. Why are you laughing at me? I was so proud of myself. I thought I'm gonna do a garden, like a herb garden. You call it herb garden? Is that how you do it? It's got an H. It's not. Anyway, so I got this little chili plant, and I was talking to the dude there, and he's like, "You got to get, you know, this type of soil and dirt." So I got a couple bags of this dirt. Put it on the thing, I take it home, and I put all the dirt around it and put my little plant there, get the kids out, I'm like, okay, it's gonna become a, you know, chili. And they're like, what's a chili? I'm like, hey, you can't touch it because it's gonna hurt. Like, then I realize, okay, this is probably not a good idea. Forget I said anything, guys, just leave it. Anyway, so I plant this chili plant, and so I do everything, put it in the right dirt. And then I went to Australia and I came back, and like the other day I come back and I go out there and I got like these little red chilies in there. Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm a gardener now, you know. I was so proud of myself, like I still am. I posted it, like I'm like, shut up, it's good. Like they're little red chilies. But it was so funny because I was like, and I posted it like I was so proud of myself, but you know what I did? Nothing. People are like, wow, that's amazing. I'm like, yeah, it really is. It's a lot of work. Like, you got to be focused, guys, you know. Hashtag have a dream, you know, don't give up. But honestly, truthfully, like between you and I didn't do a thing. Like, I got it and I put it in the dirt and I left. And I came back and there's a chili. I'm like, this is so easy, you know. And it's funny, it's silly, but you know the difference? The difference is in the dirt. The difference is in the dirt. And I didn't have to, the seed, do you know how powerful that little seed is? I didn't have to like get a seed and give the seed vision. You know what I mean? It's not like I got the seed and then I got a chili in front of it. I'm like, hey, buddy, this is what we've got to become, all right? I need you to do this. We're going to, no. Do you know why? Because that is in that. Okay? The seed will produce fruit if you put it in the right environment. And there's not a lot. Do you understand? Do you understand what this word will do when you put it in the right environment? And there's too many of us living very frustrated lives, and we have become so frustrated we're now bitter with God, questioning the power of His word, when really the problem is the condition of our heart. And it's possible to get our heart to a place where it is so pure and so rich that the second seed hits it, fruit begins to produce. Doesn't that feel like the real Christian life that we read about? I touched on it months back in another sermon, but I was reminded of it, the fact that Jesus' life and the miracles that operated through Him, they just seemed to naturally flow, didn't they? Do we ever see Jesus ever in Scripture striving for anything? Do you ever see Him, even when He performed miracles? Did you ever see Jesus being, oh, dear God, I just pray and I believe and I really want this to happen and I just thank You for it and I declare right now in Jesus' name and I speak it? No, He didn't do any of that. You know what He did? He just spoke it and it happened. Paralytic man, what did He do? Jesus didn't even give the guy, He didn't even pray for him. You know what He did? He said, hey, buddy, hop up, off you go. I mean, it's incredibly frustrating because I feel like I work so much harder than what Jesus did. And you do too. Jesus just sort of walks in the room and He's like, hey, up you hop, off you go, all the best. Blind guy comes to Jesus. Again, Jesus prayed for him. In the name of me. Touch him right now. Power of God. No. No. I'm not saying that he didn't have a prayer life, but I am saying that there was such a flow. All he had to do was speak it and the will of the Father flowed through him. Why? Because the soil was so rich. The seed that I planted in my garden that produced, do you know what that seed? This seed didn't have to strive to do anything because it just did what the seed does. Stayed in that environment, and because of what surrounded it, it was able to produce. And I think of our lives and I think of our heart and I think of the power of God's word. And I look at Jesus and the fact that there was just such a natural flow of fruit in and through His life. So much so that He can be walking through a crowd and a woman who has an issue of blood just grabs His garden and power just flows out of Him in a second. Jesus was never frantic. Jesus was never in a hurry. Do you ever read anything of Jesus ever running? Think about that. Effortless. Now, it doesn't mean that he didn't face life's challenges. We know that he did. He faced opposition and persecution beyond any of us could have imagined. But he was so connected to the will of the Father. And the soil of his heart was so rich that fruit was produced in and through his life 100-fold every single way that he went. And I'm so challenged when I consider the state of my heart and the condition of my heart and the fact that the power of God's word hinges upon the condition of my heart. So my challenge to us as we consider this as a topic, my challenge to us is, how is your heart? How is your heart? Because in a room this size, there's people in here that have experienced hurt and trauma that's unimaginable. And you didn't know what to do with it, and you didn't know how to handle it. So the only thing you knew to do was to actually just push it deeper. And then create layers and layers of hardness over your heart to guard the hurt that really is there. I want to challenge you that we serve a God. How do I put it? We serve a God who just loves to help us fix things. I know it's almost like a dumb thing to say, but I think of my son, Luca. He's into a combination of football, snakes, and wrestling. He got a toy snake when he was in Australia, and it's so he had it like wrapped around him on the plane, and he's worked out a way that the snake is going to be a part of his walkout song when he becomes a wrestler. Just pray for me, please. It's a journey. But he's very into wrestling, and he loves to like act it out and do it all, and he's got the figures. And for those of you who have kids in Kid Pack, and if your son gets held in a choke slam by my son, who calls himself John Cena from time to time, I apologize. But, you know, what he'll do is he'll, like, have his little wrestlers, and he's, like, you know, he's got, like, this little wrestling ring, and they slam and they do their thing. And then every now and then he'll, like, something will break, and he'll come up to me, and he's, like, so disappointed. You know, it's like the arm's broken off or something. And, like, as a dad, it's, like, and it's such a dumb example, but it gives you a glimpse, because I think it helps us get a little glimpse into the heart of the Father. Like, I actually, it's so dumb and simple, but I just love to fix things for him. Like, I love it. I love it. It's not the fixing process. It's the joy on his face when the process is done. That's what I love. Because the contrast, he comes and there's, like, in his little mind, there's no hope. John Cena lost an arm. The world is over and my life is finished. That's in his mind. It's, what are we going to do? But then when I'm able to glue John Cena's arm back, all the problems are fixed. But in his little six-year-old head, he gets that, and he, you know what he does? He's so excited about it. But then you know what else is great that I love as a dad? He looks at me like I just split the atom. Like, looks at me like I could do anything. Like, my dad's the best. And I think that's what it's like with God. You know what he loves? He loves to just, God loves to fix us. Do you know that? He loves the process. He loves the journey. He loves, firstly, the fact that we come to him with broken stuff. He loves it. He loves it because when we do that, we're acknowledging that everything else of this world that I have tried to fix the issues of my heart will not suffice. And it is only God that can do it. And he loves that. He loves the journey of what it takes for us to bring it to him. And the humility, my God, the humility that's required of us to come to God and say, God, I'm not getting this right. Because I'm going to church, but I'm still angry. And I hate the way I speak to my spouse because I love them. And I'm still hurt and I'm still bitter and I'm trying everything else and I'm trying to be successful and I'm trying to make money and I'm trying to do everything else right, but I cannot seem to fix this. And there's this anger and there's this frustration within us. And I want to tell you, church, one of the most powerful things that we can do as the children of God is come to him humbled and say, God, will you create in me a clean heart? Because there's stuff that has happened to me 20, 30, 40 years ago that I never dealt with. And I'm recognizing that the only way to fix this is to bring it to the Creator. Because some of you, you go year after year, and you write down the start of each year your New Year's resolution. To change, to get better, to accomplish more. It's these goals that you put down, the things you want to achieve. And you know what they are? They're just fruit. It's just fruit. And it'll all happen if it's God's will. It'll all happen if you get the soil right. And some of you are exhausted because you're trying to force the fruit. Fruit is not designed to be forced. It's designed to flow. It'll just happen. It's in the seed. It's in the seed. Blessing, blessing beyond what you could possibly imagine. Blessing that includes your finances but doesn't stop there. Blessing that flows down to your emotional, you emotionally as a person, that flows through your marriage into your kids. That's the type of blessing that's in this seed. Favor. Favor upon your life where things will happen to you that will humble you, that will be so above and beyond your natural gifting and ability, you will have to stop and find a quiet space so people don't think you're bat crazy because you're about to bawl your eyes out because you know that God could not, it could not have happened if it was not for God. I want to tell you that there is a favor in this word. There's a favor in this word that everywhere you walk, you will have to walk so slow because God is going to pour out upon your life in a way that the weight of it is going to feel like, oh God, this is too much. This is what the Word of God can do in our hearts. There's miracles in you. At the touch, at the very touch of your hand, there's miracles in you. Because I know the God that lives in you. And this is the God that we read about. He didn't even have to try. It just happened. This is what we're sitting on. So why don't we see it? And I'm not downplaying what God has done in and through our lives, because I know that many of you are seeing it on levels, but I am here to encourage you and challenge you. There's so much more. There's so much more. And it's so much easier than what you think. All we need to do is just bring our hearts, our broken, messed up, hurting, insecure, angry, frustrated hearts back to the manufacturer and say, hey, this thing's broken and I've got a warranty that says you're going to fix this thing for free because you already paid the price for it. Listen, could it be that easy? That the pain that many of you have carried for so long, could it be that easy? As easy as showing up to the Apple store with a broken iPhone. You don't struggle, do you? You walk up to the little genius bar with all those dudes behind the desk and you say, hey, bro, here, I'm going to go get a coffee. I'll be back in 20. Fix it. We don't question them. Oh, hey, listen, buddy, I'm real sorry to tell you. I'm so sorry to, you know, I've got this phone. It's an Apple phone. Oh, it's an Apple store, but I just don't know if you know how to do this. Oh, I just really need your time and effort, didn't you? We don't do that. Why? Why? Because that's their job. Do you know how much your Heavenly Father, He puts it like this. Come to me. I'm going to put it in Ben's language. All of you jokers that are screwed up. We won't put this on. We won't stream this because I'll get in trouble. Come to me, all of you who are what? Who are weary, burdened, and heavy laden. He loves it. He says, come on. Because you know what he loves the most? It's that look that my son gives me once I fix John Cena's arm. And he looks at me and he says, Dad, you're the best. I've had God do some things in my life that all I can do is stand here and worship and say, God, you're the best. You're the best.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. To watch our latest message, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Free Chapel OC.